You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Love and life from the Dog Bowl in the middle of the Berea headquarters of the Cleveland Browns. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura with you on a football Monday, and we are pleased to welcome into the show right now from NFL Network, one of the very top analysts covering football. You could also hear him on NBC's coverage of Notre Dame football. He's our good buddy, Mike Mayock. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. And by the way, that Dog Bowl of yours is pretty cool, too.
Isn't it nice? We're pleased with it. They've made a tremendous investment in here. We couldn't be more thrilled. And it's still pretty new. It's still got that smell of newness in it. So we're eating that up. And, Mike, you were here to take in this new Browns team. You spent the weekend in Berea watching two training camp practices. So, and I saw you filling up that notebook of yours. Wanted to get your thoughts, first of all, your big picture thoughts, biggest takeaways of what you're seeing from this team these last 2 days.
You know, when Mike Lombardi took over and when they hired Rob Chudzinski, the thing that I loved the most was Rob's first couple hires on the coaching side with the coordinators. And a lot of times a new head coach may have some insecurity about who he's hiring. But when you go out and you get Norv Turner and Ray Horton, I think Rob showed that he was secure with everything, and all he wants to do is win football games. Because my takeaways are on offense, you know, Norv's done a great job already working with Brandon Whedon and that young group of wide receivers. It looks to me like Whedon's tightened up some of his mechanics. The ball's coming out more quickly. I watched the first half of the tape last week's preseason game. Thought he looked very efficient. And the wide receiver thing's really interesting because I thought Devone Bess was just a wonderful pickup from the Miami Dolphins. He's going to catch, I believe, 60 to 70 balls. And then you go from there. Travis Benjamin is a highlight reel. And if you get the development from the big-bodied guys, from Greg Little, and then from good old number 12 there, Josh Gordon, if you get production and if they continue to develop, that's pretty cool to watch a new offense with a new offensive coordinator, quarterback, and young receiver. So that was my takeaway on offense. And then on defense, Ray Horton's got them doing so many things, and I think he's playing to what they do well, and that is they can rush the quarterback. So if you get Jabal Sheard, if you get Barkevious Mingo, and if you get Paul Kruger all in the game at the same time rushing the quarterback, there's going to be some problems for the offense. So I think there's some positive energy out there, guys.
There is definitely a lot of positive energy out there, Mike, and it was good to see you out at camp yesterday. One guy that I wanted to ask you about on the offense that you didn't mention that I think is going to play a big role or needs to play a big role for this offense, given the nature of the Chudzinski-Norv Turner type of attack, is tight end Jordan Cameron. I know he's a tremendous athlete, but wanted to get your take on him and what you've seen and how he's developed now that he's been kind of thrust in the fire as a starter for the first time in his career.
I think in today's NFL, a vertical tight end is critical, and that's what he is. Now, the only knock on him has been just the nagging injuries. So if he can prove that he can stay healthy for 16 games, he's one of those guys that could have a breakout year. So there's no doubt in my mind that a healthy Cameron will help this offense.
You also got to see Trent Richardson back in action. Now, he didn't play in the last Thursday's preseason opener against the Rams. He's been kind of off and on in practice, but basically the bottom line that Rob Chudzinski has talked about is that there is a plan for how to practice him, how to utilize him, and basically preserve him for the season. Your thoughts on that and what you saw of Trent Richardson?
He looks pretty darn healthy to me, and he looks ready to go. I thought he caught the ball really well. It looks to me like his weight is under control. It looks to me like he's ready to have a good season. But what I think you're going to see, at least what it looked like to me, is Deion Lewis as a change of pace guy, and he did a great job on an option route against a linebacker in the preseason game for a touchdown the other night. He brings him a little different dimension. And then I think Brandon Jackson is another guy that's a pro that can be in the one back, can pass protect. So, yeah, I think Trent Richardson will get the majority of carries and touches in the run game, but I really like what Deion Lewis and Brandon Jackson can bring them also.
Deion Lewis, dynamite. When he gets matched up on a linebacker like that and the linebacker has to guess, it's like a goalie in a penalty kick situation. Left or right, take a guess, and Lewis is probably still going to beat you. Right. Anyway, you talk about the defensive side of the ball now. Jabal Sheard moving from 4-3 DN to 3-4 outside linebacker, getting to see him up close in that role. How do you think he's adjusted, and really what's the ceiling for him? I think he can be a pretty special player.
Yeah, he's a better player than people recognize when he came out of Pitt. And I think some people were surprised Cleveland took him, I believe, as a second-round pick.
Yep.
And I believe his play will more than justify that, especially this year. And what I like about Ray Horton, and I've liked for watching his teams for a lot of years now, he values versatility. And if you watch them practice, their base defense looks like one thing. They've got a nickel package, a dime package, a joker package. And he's got so many players he can use interchangeably. And I mentioned earlier, when you get Sheard, when you get Kruger, and when you get Mingo in the game at the same time, with Mingo kind of a joker, moving around doing different things, I think you've got a pretty special package. And by the way, up front there's some talent also. I mean, Phil Taylor made a play in the preseason game last week on it where he stripped the ball for a fumble that, you know, a 330-pound defensive tackle, explosive, moving laterally down the line of scrimmage, he looked like a dancing bear. And what he does is rare. And there's a bunch of people up front, Ataba Rubin, the kid they picked up from Oakland, Desmond Bryant, is kind of freaky. So I really like their front seven. It's just going to be a matter of whether they can hold up on the back end.
Right, and you talk about that, the back end issues there. Talk to me a little bit. You didn't get Chris Owens wasn't out there obviously yesterday, and there was the draft pick Leon McFadden. As you assess this team, is that the one area of the defense that gives you the most concern at this point?
Yeah, it's just going to be what the entire defensive backfield looks like with D-backs. And I was a defensive back. I mean, number one is the question of physical ability. Can you do what they ask you to do? But number two, I believe you got to practice together. There's so much communication. There's so much on-the-fly understanding of what the guy next to you has to do. So I think Joe Hayden is an all-pro corner. I think Joe Hayden's going to have a great year. I think T.J. Ward is a really good safety. Now, the other half of the defensive backfield, who starts at free safety? Gibson, Batamosi, how do they work with the rest of the guys? And then the other cup, I say two or three corner positions, because in today's NFL, you know, the nickel dime subgroup is on the field 60 to 70% of the time. So you need three or four corners. And, you know, who starts at the other corner? And like you said, I didn't get to see one of the corners. I did see Buster Skrein, who's having a really good year. I thought coming out of college, he was a natural nickel, great feet, little smaller body type. But they're going to battle out. And really, the biggest issue on the back end, especially with all the blitzing that Ray Horton does, is how sound can you be back there? And that's going to be their challenge.
Mike Mayock from NFL Network is joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Mike, you're going around to different camps, and your focus right now is on the early part of the Thursday night NFL schedule, which is what brought you primarily to Cleveland when you did, because on October 3rd, the Browns host the Buffalo Bills at First Energy Stadium for the 8:25 p.m. kickoff then, and you also saw the Bills. You visited their camp as well. You visited some other camps. We were talking about this yesterday. Give me a sense of the kind of the general things you're seeing, because you touched upon something interesting that I'd like you to share about tempoing and pacing and all of that.
Sure. I think as you go around and talk to coaches around the league, there are a couple of hot buttons. And remember, for years and years, traditionally, the flow of information went from the NFL down through the college ranks, and the colleges would come to training camp, learn from the pros, and go back and implement their systems in college. Now it's kind of going the other way, and a lot of it's because these quarterbacks come out of systems in college where they were never under center in their life, and it's all the zone read option kind of stuff, which exploded last year. So where do you go from here? And I think the two things I've seen consistently are number one, there's a continued buzz offensively about how much zone read to run, what kind of quarterbacks can you expose the quarterback to injuries, and then defensively, how do you stop it, how aggressive do you want to be, How many people do you commit up front to do that? How much practice time do you take to be concerned about it? And a lot of that conversation happened in the offseason with NFL coaches going to colleges and saying, hey, how do you guys do it? Which to me is really intriguing. And that's going to be one issue. And everybody's talking about the zone read and the Robert Griffin and Kaepernick and all those kind of players. The second one, which is just as prevalent now, is tempo. And last year, the New England Patriots averaged, I think, 7 or 8 more snaps per game because Belichick went to Chip Kelly and pretty much took his system of no huddle and implemented it for Tom Brady and allowed Tom Brady to control the game. And if you give Tom Brady 8 extra snaps per game, he's going to generate extra points. And they were the number one scoring team in the league. So the NFL is a copycat league, right? So every team in the league right now is experimenting with different phases of tempo. How fast do they want to go? Is it all no huddle? Is it partly no huddle? And to me, it's intriguing because the defensive coordinators are really concerned about how quickly now they're going to have to get their calls in, or are they going to become too vanilla? Because if an offense knows what you're doing on the back end, they can really chew you up. So they're the two main things I see, Vic, and it's been at every camp the coaches are talking about it.
Because not only does the tempo give you the opportunity to run more plays, as you pointed out, but it also strategically can limit a very good defensive coordinator and what he can call, how quickly he can call it, and how much he can change things up.
Yeah, and that's kind of a hidden piece of this whole thing. And I think if you've got a really good defensive coordinator and he's sitting up in the box, some offenses think that they can negate his influence to a certain degree by going up-tempo as fast as possible and forcing the defense to streamline communications to a level where they become vanilla on defense.
Mike, there's been a whole lot of discussion, rightfully so, about ACL injuries that have been occurring, the knee injuries in practice for the most part, and now the correlation between players having limitations through the offseason and training camp and the amount of work and certainly the amount of contact they do and the pacing of – we talk about pacing. I mean, the heavy torquing and running is limited too. And, again, you go back to the days in your playing career where Bill Parcells and the Giants just ran it hard and double-day sessions and all that hitting that took place. But now there's a theory that maybe players aren't getting enough preparation for this, and it's maybe leading to some injuries. There might be a correlation that it's the unintended consequence of trying to actually preserve and make it safer. It might be making it more dangerous through the CBA.
You know, and I'm not a doctor, and I don't even begin to pretend to know the answer to that. I'm nowhere near smart enough to figure that one out. I don't know how you can correlate ACLs or not. My core belief is just that when you're in pads a little more often and you hit a little more often, I think your entire body calluses, and I think you get used to it. You get used to the pace. You get used, whether it's contact or non-contact, you kind of just get used to the demands of being in pads and going full speed. And again, I'm not a doctor. I can't define it any better than I felt comfortable understanding. And I'll give you an example. In 1982, the NFL went on strike, and I was a rookie with the New York Giants. And you go from 6 weeks of training camp, preseason games, 2 regular season games, and all of a sudden we go on strike. And we were out for 8 or 9 weeks, I forget. And I worked out every single day, but not in pads, obviously. Every day I worked out, I was in great shape. We got back and played the Washington Redskins, and I tore my shoulder on I think, the second or third kickoff of the game on just kind of a freaky way that I fell and a freaky way I got hit on a kickoff. And I fully believe that had I been in normal football conditioning shape, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have fallen as awkwardly. The hit would have occurred in a different fashion. But that's just the way it is, and that's my own belief. And it has nothing beyond it other than my own core belief.
Mike, great stuff. We appreciate it. We look forward, of course, to seeing you when you and the whole NFL Network crew is in Cleveland for that October 3rd Thursday night game. Thank you, my man.
Hey, I'm excited about it, and I look forward to seeing you guys.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
He is Mike Mayock from NFL Network. Again, Browns and Bills. Going to check that out on October 3rd at First Energy Stadium, and that will be the lights will be on. It'll be prime time.
I know, and even better for me, I'll be in town. I get to go to a Browns game, so that'll be fantastic. I can't wait.
That'll just make it a bonus.
That's right.
Scott Petrick is going to join us at the bottom of the hour from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. We'll talk some Browns with him. Got some more talk and different topics to cover. Let's talk a little bit about defense, about Barkevious Mingo making his strides as a rookie. Looks like he is putting on the heat in practice. He was doing it in games. So we'll get into that a little bit and how much he's improving some of his technical aspects of the game. Vic and Nathan right here on ESPN 850 WKNR.